While the government is keen to talk about work choices, the opposition would rather it just disappeared for good. But it hasn't, and it's been a distraction, especially as the opposition tries to sell the merits of its policy to cut spending and position itself as the best economic manager. But even as it tries to get onto the front foot, it's having trouble again with industrial relations. The government says one of the coalition's spending cuts would mean breaking a promise not to change Labor's industrial laws. To discuss this and the campaign, the Shadow Treasurer, Joe Hockey, is in our Sydney studio. He's speaking to Chief Political Correspondent Lyndall Curtis.
Joe Hockey, welcome to AM.
Thanks, Lyndall.
You yesterday announced $25 million in savings by allowing the Electoral Commission to recover costs of conducting union ballots, but the government says that needs a change to the Fair Work Act, something Tony Abbott said on Monday he would not do, not now, not ever. Do you have to break the promise you made yesterday or the one Tony Abbott made on Monday?
No, the government's wrong. We can do it by changing the Electoral Act.
How?
By introducing legislation that changes the Electoral Act.
So changes the Electoral Act to say
and it does not change the Fair Work Australia Act.
So the
story is wrong. The government is wrong. If this is a government that can't get its act together on pink bats and school halls, why would people so willingly accept their overnight legal advice, which in fact is wrong?
So how do you change the Electoral Act?
Well, you change the Electoral Act. You amend the Electoral Act to allow the Australian Electoral Commission to recover costs of providing services to the unions.
The Fair Work Act,
in the same way they do to clubs and a range of other organisations.
The Fair Work Act has a provision saying the Commonwealth's liable for the costs incurred by the AEC in relation to protected action ballot. Would that provision stand in the Fair Work Act?
We're not changing the Fair Work Act. I'll say it again. We're not changing the Fair Work Act. We're changing the Electoral Act. And we will be able to recover the costs from the unions. But, Lyndall, let's put this in perspective. We have announced $46 billion of gross savings, which is going to take pressure off household budgets. It's going to take pressure off higher prices for everyday Australians. It's going to take some of the upward pressure off interest rates. Now, we've announced that. The biggest hit the government has had on $46 billion of gross savings is a $25 million cost recovery program that the unions have to pay for in the same way as clubs and other organisations that use the AEC. To put that in perspective for the average household, we are saying the average household will save you $46,000 and the Labor Party is quibbling about $25. That's the same proportion.
We'll go to those spending cuts in a moment, but just on the question of this one savings measure, doesn't it mean if you change the Electoral Act but leave the Fair Work Act as it is, that the two acts conflict and isn't that at least leave room for a legal challenge at some point?
I say again, Lyndall, we will change the Electoral Act. The report is wrong. We have legal advice to that effect. And we move on. The issue is...
So the two acts won't be in conflict?
Well, the lawyers can... I don't... It's going to surprise you, Lyndall, but I haven't got copies of all the legislation in front of me. And even though I've still got a practising certificate as a lawyer, I say to you, we have legal advice that confirms our position. So the story is wrong. The Labor Party doesn't want to talk about the cost of living pressures on families. They don't want to talk about the fact they have no agenda for the second term. You know what, Lyndall? We now have Julia Gillard as Prime Minister. The first 3 weeks that she was Prime Minister was a complete mess, an absolute unmitigated mess on border protection, on mining taxes. It was a mess. She ran to the election. Now her only agenda for the second term is to try and fix the problems of the first term, and this is the form that Labor has.
If we can go now to the spending cuts you announced yesterday, a document you put out yesterday outlined $23.8 billion in savings, but the press release that accompanied it said, as you've said this morning, there are $45.8 billion in savings. Where's the extra $20 billion?
Well, as we've outlined previously, it's cuts to the NBN. It's also the sale of Medibank Private. We are about reducing the total cost burden to the taxpayer. Now, the cost burden to the taxpayer includes going out into the market and borrowing money. And if you look at something like the NBN, it has no cost-benefit analysis. The numbers, even by their own admission, are heroic that back the government's assessment that they can roll this out. I say to you, we are facing a very significant moment in Australian politics. We either go down the path of re-electing a bad government, or we put in place a party that has done it before, that has been a proper government before, that has gone down the path of reducing the cost of living to families. That's what we stand for.
You, as you say, the $46 billion is gross savings. You will end up spending some of that. How much will you spend?
Well, you will see that during the course of the campaign. But what I can tell you, absolutely, is at the end of the election, it will be perfectly clear to the Australian people that under the coalition, we will spend less than Labor, we will tax less than Labor, we will pay off their debt again, and we will go down the path of easing part of the pressure. You can't ease all the pressure, but easing part of the pressure on those family budgets and taking upward pressure off interest rates.
Does it mean you can deliver a surplus earlier than Labor's promised?
Well, Labor's never going to deliver a surplus.
When are you going to deliver the surplus?
Well, we will. I tell you what, we'll have a better idea in about 7 days' time, when the updated Treasury figures are released. But I say to you,
but
this:
the Treasurer put out
his figures. His figures. Not surely Treasury's figures.
But surely they come from Treasury.
We've had so many figures, Lyndall, over the last few weeks. I mean, Wayne Swan doesn't know if he's Arthur or Wendy or Arthur or Martha. He is so confused about the numbers. They don't give anyone confidence. And that's the core issue in this election.
You don't know now, though. You can't say now, though, whether you'll be able to bring in a surplus either bigger than Labor's promised
I promise you, we will deliver a bigger surplus than Labor. There's no doubt about that. Labor's never going to deliver a surplus. They never have. When I heard Julia Gillard talking about we believe in surpluses, I nearly fell off my chair. They've never delivered one. The last Labor surplus was in 1989.
But you can't say how much bigger than Labor's.
Oh, well, it'll be significantly bigger than Labor's. I can promise you that. But Labor will
In the billions of dollars?
But, Lyndall, you're assuming they'll deliver a surplus. Labor will never deliver a surplus. They'll never pay off the debt. Australians are going to face higher taxes to pay for all of Labor's spending.
You've said that a coalition government will always have interest rates lower than a Labor government. Interest rates are at 4.5% now. They were down at 3% in April last year. Can you get them lower than that?
Oh, well, the bottom line here is controlling inflation. And at the moment, the government has its foot on the accelerator. It is borrowing $100 million a day, every day, just to fund its expenditure today. And then it's got the debt on top of that. So this government, with its reckless spending, is putting upward pressure on inflation. And so the Reserve Bank is trying to put its foot on the brake. It's trying to slow things. Interest rates. And the electorate has hit both ways. We've got higher electricity prices, higher water prices, higher public transport prices, higher house prices, and Labor's spending more and more money with its foot on the accelerator. The Reserve Bank is slamming its foot on the brake with higher interest rates. And if it doesn't happen this month, it'll happen in the next few months unless we get inflation under control.
And you believe you can have interest rates at lower levels than they've been under Labor?
On average, interest
so,
rates...
So they won't get down to the 3%
average,
they were last
on
year?
On average, interest rates under the coalition have always been lower than under Labor. We are about smaller government than Labor. We are about careful spending. We do not believe in the Labor debt, and we'll repay it.
So can we not take averages from the last couple of years where interest rates were called emergency lows?
You can't take the interest rates from the last couple of years. You've got to look at Labor during its terms in government and our terms in government.
Finally, on the issue of climate change, you were reported in the Sydney Morning Herald in May saying that inevitably we'll have to have a price on carbon. We have to. Was that quite accurate?
Well, sometime in the future, if the world agrees that we're going to have a price on carbon, then Australia will obviously have to take some sort of position on carbon pricing. Now, our policy is very clear. By 2015, we'll review the situation, see where the rest of the world is at.
That only depends on what the rest of the world is doing. You don't think there's a need for Australia to have a price on carbon in the interim?
Lyndall, let me just say this. We are the only party that has a climate change policy. Labor has just done a deal with the Greens. Labor has no climate change policy, but I bet you that deal, which we'll never hear about until after the election, is about introducing higher electricity prices, which is what the Greens want, higher electricity prices and making life even less affordable for everyday households.
During discussions over the Liberal leadership ballot last year, you decided not to go as far as Tony Abbott was prepared to go in junking the emissions trading scheme. And some say in taking that decision, you gave up your chance to be leader. Do you regret that now you stand by Tony Abbott's policy?
Oh, absolutely. Look, Tony Abbott is, I think, the best person to lead the country. He is a conviction politician. He believes in things. When he talks, he talks in real terms. At the moment, we have someone who is not disclosing what she really believes in. I don't know what Julia Gillard believes in, Lyndall. I really don't. I ask myself every day, what does Julia Gillard end up sleepless at night about? What really burns in her heart for our country? I don't know what it is.
So the Liberal Party made the right decision in December.
And Julia Gillard is now in a position where she could win the election. She may well win the election if continuing down this path of being a small target and not telling anyone what she stands for, what she believes in. But I hope the Australian people will consider this carefully. Have a good look at Julia Gillard, because I fear that the Julia Gillard who is real is not being seen by the Australian people.
Joe Hockey, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Lyndall.
The Shadow Treasurer, Joe Hockey, speaking there with Lyndall Curtis.